Now, where most entrepreneurs make the mistake is that they want to go directly to getting more clients, selling them stuff. Now, that's a bit icky, only because these people don't know you. And why should they buy from you? I mean, they just met you. And now you want to be like, buy my stuff? It's not going
to
work.
Ladies, what's up? Welcome to the Women Who Lead Summit. I am so excited you're here. You guys are killing it, doing your 21 days, getting all of the wisdom and knowledge and all of the stuff that the 6 and 7 figure earners are giving you. So today, get ready, y'all, because you're about to learn from the queen of high converting Facebook ad strategies for coaches herself. This is what she does. This is Carol Cabale, now known for being the ultimate GPS for paid Facebook ads with no wrong turns. Carol specializes in helping service-based businesses unlock predictable lead generation and build an ecosystem that converts. We're going to get into what an ecosystem is. Now, with her strategic approach to paid ads, Carol goes beyond just setting up campaigns, which a lot of us do, okay? And she ensures that every part of the process is aligned, from your landing pages to the email sequence to messaging that resonates with your ideal client, all of that great stuff, right? So her expertise has saved countless entrepreneurs from the nightmare of wasted ad spend and frustration, helping them achieve small budget success with optimized growth, okay? So buckle up and listen up. Go grab your workbook, grab a pen, make sure you're taking notes, okay? Because Carol is here to really demystify Facebook ads and to share her secrets to creating an ecosystem that drives real results, okay? Now, if you're ready to go from why isn't this working to why didn't I start sooner, right? Because that's what we want to do is start sooner and really start creating impact in our businesses. So this session is for you. Let's give a warm welcome to Carol Cabale and let her talk to you about paid traffic 101. What's up, girl? What's up?
Hello. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Guys, we're going to have fun. We're going to have so much
fun.
Right? Why didn't I do this sooner? I cannot wait. This is going to be great. Yes.
I'm really glad you're here. I mean, just like even the first day we spoke, I'm like, okay, you have to be on, right? You're going to be on, right? You're going to be on, right?
And she was I'm on. Yes, I'm doing it. I'm not running away. I got your back.
I'm so glad because, I have my whole team that does like all of this marketing automation, blah, blah, blah. But it is not easy, Carol. And I've also been doing this since 2002, right? So I have a little bit of wind, in my sail. But it is a challenge, Carol, because a lot of, maybe not for you, but for people who are getting onto Meta ads, YouTube ads, like all that kind of stuff, it is a lot to try to learn. There's a lot of pieces, a lot of things. And so I really wanted to have you here because I know that a lot of people are looking at, what do I do with ads? How do I freaking do this, right? And so many entrepreneurs struggle with this Facebook ads and Meta and all this kind of stuff, right? So I wanted you to start us off with really some foundational steps that we should be taking before even launching a campaign. Because some of us think we should just automatically put all our money into campaigns and go. And then we're defeated and deflated because it didn't work. Right?
Yeah.
So let's start there. I want you to start us right there. Like, what foundations, what fundamental steps do we need to take before even launching the campaign? Start us off, girl.
Okay. I love this question so much. So I hope you guys are taking notes because we're going to drop all the gems today. I'm so excited for you. And before I even start telling you, I'm so glad that you're here and you're investing time in yourself. Like, good on you. The first thing that I see people struggle with is lack of strategy. So they don't have a very clear goal on what it is they want to do, right? Now, I know you're thinking, Carol, I've got a clear goal. My goal is to get more clients. My goal is to make more money. But you need to understand that when you run ads, you need to be a little bit more specific than that, right? So there's three kind of categories that I like to run ads in. And I'm going to talk back and forth about these, but I always want you to keep this in mind. So the first category is running engagement ads. Those ads are focused on, if you already have great organic content, but it's not being seen, That's your goal, getting more eyeballs, right? The second kind of goal that you could have is lead generation. So building ecosystems, as Nina said, outside of these social platforms. It doesn't matter which one, right? And then selling to these people or nurturing them, creating community, and then ultimately selling. Now, where most entrepreneurs make the mistake is that they want to go directly to getting more clients, selling them stuff. Now, that's a bit icky, only because these people don't know you. And why should they buy from you? I mean, they just met you. And now you want to be like, buy my stuff? It's not going to work. So that last sales kind of ad, you want to save it for when you've done a combination or one of the previous campaigns. Because now people know you, they kind of have a feel for you, they understand that you are the right choice to invest with financially, and therefore when you're presenting the sale, it's easier. So number one spot is make sure you have a strategy. You have a goal, you have an objective, okay? By the way, if you see me looking down, I forgot to mention, I am just reading my notes because, you know I don't look it, but your girl's getting old and I can't remember everything. So just bear with me. The second one is really important. It's understanding your audience. Now, for the targeting, it's really, really important. Like back in the day, it needed to be 100% to make sure your ads work. But fast forward with things like Advantage Plus placement and things like that, and more AI being introduced into Meta, it actually means that your campaigns and your ads can work with a little bit more targeting. You don't have to be as strategic. Here's an exercise, though, that I take every single one of my clients to make sure that they know who they're looking for, right? Now, before I share the exercise with you, I just want to put a little disclaimer. Just because we're looking for one specific type of client doesn't mean you need to ignore the rest. I know so many times we are taught to niche down, but niching down doesn't mean you're ignoring those people. It just means you're personalizing the journey for one individual. We live in a world with so much chaos, with so many things happening. When you are creating ads, you really want to tailor them and speak to one group at a time so that the person receiving that messaging really feels like it's for them and that that solution, what you're putting in front of them, can actually help them, can move the needle forward, right? So with the targeting, here's how you're going to do it. Here's how you're going to think about it. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to imagine that you need to find this person, your ideal client, in a very busy mall, right? So close your eyes, where are you going first? Are we going to Lululemon? Are we looking for a Tesla? Is she buying a Mercedes? Is she at Louis Vuitton? Is she at Gucci? Is she at Walmart? Is it a he? Where are these people? What are they buying? What are they reading? Am I gonna find them in a bookstore? And if I do find them in a bookstore, what are they putting in their cart? Are they a dark romance girly or do they love self-help books? Now, all these little nuances will help to create a broader picture than just saying, well, it's a female who lives in America in the state. Now, with these little nuances, you can then go and create kind of like groups to test what should we target for first. So maybe I had a client, for example, and we actually did this exercise, and at the end of it, we learned that all of her clients drive white Teslas. Crazy, right? Like, who would have known that? But because of that, it helped us to find more of her people by targeting for Tesla. So use that and see what you come up with. It's actually a really fun exercise because it also makes you think more of where they shop, what they eat, what they're doing. And if you can't think of things like that, maybe they're also entrepreneurs, think of the software they use. Are they on Kajabi? Are they on Zoom? Do they use Microsoft? Are they a Mac user? Do they use Android? Try and get into their head and you can always also target for those things. It's absolutely great. The targeting, if you're curious on how that works, it basically comes from all the information we willingly give Meta. And when I say Meta, I mean Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Things like our birthday, our anniversary, when we're married, what pages we like, what we interact with, all that information is what is used to later target these people. So This one is really important, and that is skipping the offer validation. Now, I often preach you must have a tried and tested offer before you run ads. Now, what do I mean by that? It means you need to have something you have sold at least 5 times through the exact same funnel. Now, if you need an example of that, it's like, do you go on stories and you ask people to buy your things? If you've made 5 stories and you've gotten 5 sales and they were good, you got like good testimonials or feedback from them, then great. You can use that as your next step. Like, you know that that works for you. So when we run ads to that offer, it's already proven. We know that the problem is not the offer. It might be something else, right? And the last little bit that I can give you is ignoring your back end. Now, this is where I see huge, huge leaks and huge, huge problems. I can bring you traffic, or you can run ads because you're really capable. And after you run the ads, people are clicking, they're signing up, they're grabbing the free thing, or they're clicking, they're joining your event, and then crickets. And then you turn around and you go, Carol, your ads don't work. I was just throwing spaghetti at the wall. This is gambling. This is not cool. Like, what is this? Well, it could be that the people came, but the customer journey was not complete. So let's look at all the touch points. If people are looking at the ad but not clicking, it could mean that your offer is not strong enough. It's not enticing. Give the people what they want. Give them something good, okay? So that's the first one. If they're clicking, but they're not converting on your landing page, right? There's something on that page. Maybe it's too long. Maybe it's too short. I want you to test with adding elements like testimonials. I want you to add like a guarantee. I want to show up proof of concept. Maybe you have a video of yourself so that they know you're a real person, because AI is creepy and some people are freaked out. So they need to see that you're still human, okay? So play around with that landing page, and you want to get over like 20% conversion on a page for it to be a good page. So anything over 20%, you're doing a good job. The next touch point that you want to make sure that you don't have a leak in is, what happens after they give you an email? Or what happens after they buy your thing? What is that experience like? Are they getting emails? What do the emails say? Are they prompting them to take the next step? Are you introducing them into a community? What does that journey look like? So every single touch point after the ad is just as critical as the ad itself. And that's usually where most entrepreneurs are like, no, I got this. It's fine. Is it? See, the beautiful thing about ads is that they just amplify what you have. So if you have a poop emoji, it's just going to show. And if you have greatness, it's just going to be amplified. So going back quickly to round up, you need to have a clear objective. You need to validate your offer. You need to make sure you have an optimized funnel, and you must have a nurturing system in place.
That is all really amazing stuff. Like, I was tons of notes, tons. Okay. So, because I think this is something when I was starting too, and even still, like, I always have to test things, make sure they're going through. Like, you know, like my event right now, like, I just noticed that they're putting in the links, my team is, but I wanted them not to just put the links. I want to put the name of my speakers, like that kind of stuff. So I'm like, you know, looking at what you're saying at the same time, watching what's happening with my funnel, because you're absolutely right. The ads are one thing. People see you, they'll click, whatever. But if there's nothing happening after, this is an issue. And that's not just about ads. That's like with anything, ladies. Like, anything that happens where you are trying to capture somebody and then you don't have any follow-up, you're going to lose them, right? Because there's a lot of holes that happened. And sometimes even like somebody who's been doing it a while, like myself, still has holes in the system that I'm like, oh, shoot, we missed that, or we didn't get that. Like just now, like when I was looking at the text that just came in saying, good morning, here's your speakers for the day, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, huh, they didn't put the names of the speakers. They just put the links. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I have to fix that to make sure that the experience is what I give, which is elevated, right? Otherwise, it's right. Just an ordinary thing. And that's, I put a lot of work and effort and money behind this. So it should feel that way. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right. And I love that you talked about that. I love that you really just gave them so many goodies here, because just with this alone, they can at least look at the back end and say, what is happening? You know, like how, what is it that I actually want to do? Do I want that lead generation? Do I want to just get organic, like reach or eyeballs on my stuff? What is it that I want to do? And most of us don't take the time to do that. You are 100% correct in saying most of us just want to look at how do we get our next client without realizing that people are not shopping like that anymore. They are shopping by your portfolio, meaning if they can find you online, can they see you on video? Can they read your blog? You know, is there a way for them to get a lead magnet to see how it is you're teaching? Like, this is real stuff, guys, right? So I don't know if you've ever been, Carol, to like an event and you quickly realize that the person speaking has no skill set in what they're speaking about, right? And as soon as they start talking, you know, you've been doing this a while, you're on your phone now. You're like looking down, you're not paying attention, right?
Yep.
Because you didn't capture them. And you're looking at them like, wow, what you're telling me is like first grade stuff. I'm over here in high school. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Right. And so, I think it's important that we show up in our media and everything. And I also agree with you that social platforms are great, but if you don't have emails, your business will not run well, because like what happened to me, and I think this happened to you too, Carol, you know, Facebook decides or whatever decides to turn off your Facebook, or it gets hacked or whatever have you, you're done. All of those 3, 5, 10, 20,000 people you had, gone. There's no way to connect with them. And you know what's happening? They're moving on to the next person.
Correct.
Because they forgot about you already. It takes people like seconds to forget. I hate to say that, but it's true, right?
That's so true.
So I want to lead that into the way you emphasize the importance of an ecosystem, right? For us to have some success in these ads and just showing up. So I want you to give us the key elements of this ecosystem, right? What is the ecosystem? And how the entrepreneurs that are here can ensure that their pieces are aligned correctly, right? Because you gave us a lot of like strategy on ads and all that, but I want them to understand exactly what an ecosystem is and how to leverage that. Thank you.
So I love that, guys. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. So step number one, I love steps. I think you know this by now, is I want you to decide what works best for you and your community, right? That's the first goal. Are you the type of person who loves to talk, like write out messages? That's not me. I'm not that girly. So you will never find me if in my community, like solely depending on email. The reason I say that is because I'm not great at it. I love to speak and connect with people and have conversation. So as much as I do have an email, my goal is to create community where I can show up like this, where people can experience me on video, on consume parts of me, come to trainings, or just work with me one-on-one, right? So that's the first goal. Once you kind of know that, like you yourself, what kind of person you are, the rest that I'm going to say to you, it's going to just make sense because you're building with that in mind, right? Ads and this ecosystem work well when you have magnetic messaging. So what I mean by that is it's messaging that speaks directly to the pain points and desires of your ideal client. Now, I know we all like to take the little knife and jab it. Oh, are you overworked? Are you stressed? Are you the pain is a motivator. Of course it is. We use it in copywriting all the time when we create ads. But you also want to give them solutions. Like the world sometimes really sucks. And you want to tell them, hey, I can help you making it better by 1% by helping you with X, right? In a world that's filled with so much chaos, offer solutions. Be of service. And if you come from a place of service, people will identify that and they will seek you out in a crowded room because they can tell that you're different. They can tell that your mission is higher than just revenue, right? And if you can do that, I promise you, everything else slowly comes in alignment. So your messaging on who you are, what you offer, how you come and you serve, that's so important. And you, again, like I said before, choose someone to speak directly to, right? Because how you speak to a coach and how you speak to a mom who has twins and their babies, or how you speak to someone whose child just went to university, or how you speak to an entrepreneur, or how you speak to, I don't know, somebody else, is very different. So get into their mind. Are you talking to your friend? Are you like, hey girl, how's it going? Or do you need to be a little bit more formal and say, I hope this email finds you well, or at least it finds you. Think about that one. Now, the next part, which is a fun part. I know you like this part because you're an entrepreneur. You love to be creative and you love to create. And that is creating strategic lead magnets. I love a good lead magnet. I love one. I love them. Okay. Now, because you love to create and because you're an entrepreneur, I can also assume that you like to create so much that you forget what the purpose of it was, right? So you either have two things. You have too many lead magnets, or you have one that you've been working on and working on and working on and have never pressed publish, okay? Either one, I got you. If you only have one and you're stuck in that analysis paralysis, what do they need, what do they do, and you never press launch, I want you to give yourself some grace. Know that a lead magnet, just like everything in life, is version one. And after version one, you can have version 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. It can only get better from here, right? Through feedback, through people experiencing it. So press publish, see how it works, right? And if you have too many, I want you to kind of look at your best performing ones. I want you to go where the data is taking you. So if you have a quiz and a PDF and you have a workshop and you have a challenge and you have, I don't know, something else, I want you to narrow down on which one is actually getting to the objective, right? Which one is actually getting you from point A to point B in your ideal customer journey? Like, are we getting people to book a call? Are they opening emails? Are they taking the next step? That's the one you gotta look into. Now, when you find one that works, regardless of which stage you're in, I want you to repurpose. And this is gonna be fun. So if you started with a PDF, right? And it's a checklist on the five things you need to do before you start running ads, as an example. You can take that checklist and you can repurpose it. And now you wanna create a video on it, right? And then you share those five tips and maybe you elaborate it a little bit more. And then you turn that speech into a free quiz that people can take. And then you take that quiz and maybe you turn it into a challenge. And as you can see, from one powerful thing that you know has worked and it's come from data, you now have all these strategic ways that align with your audience that start fueling your funnel, right? So the next thing I would say is getting really focused on your conversion funnel. So a clear process from the opt-in to booking the call to joining your program. So what is your client journey? I need you to sit down and really identify every single touch point. Once you can put yourself in their shoes, you start to see where the holes are. And it's like a bucket. Like, the holes are there. You are maybe just blinded by how much you love your business or how great you think you are, or people have just not told you. Trust me, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. There's always places to improve. Even if it's just 1%, that 1% can mean the difference between being a five-figure earner, six-figure earner, or heck, you could be, I don't know, whatever you want, 10 million earner, you know? My next point is making sure you have a nurture sequence. So what I mean by that is having emails that you follow up with, or having a platform like ManyChat that automates something for you. You could use anyone. That's just the one that popped in my head. Or having a DM strategy to warm up your leads. But you need to be following up. Here's the thing. As entrepreneurs, we get into this little trap that I like to call, like I can't even remember what I call it now, but it's basically we're happy when we have like five clients and we forget to do marketing. We just forget. We just don't show up. We don't do posts. Unless you have a team, right, that's doing these things for you, you just forget. You're just like, it's good. I have these five clients or these 10 clients or how many students I have, until you don't. And then it kind of takes you, like, on average, I've seen that it takes people a good like 2 to 3 months to really get to that point again where they have all that momentum, those inquiries, they have the people, and then they stop again. So you want to constantly be nurturing people. And if you feel icky about that, or you feel like, oh, I don't know about that, that's a mindset thing. You need to go do some work, because selling or nurturing people is just you being of service. And who doesn't want to be of service? Who doesn't want to help? I know you do. The last thing is having a sales process that is really solid. So you want to have a solid strategy for converting those leads through your given way, right? So whether that is getting them on email and making sure you have a strong landing page that converts, or getting them on a call so that you guys can talk, or starting a conversations in the DM, whether that's automated or it's manual, and you guys have the conversation and the sale occurs. But it all has to lead to a sales process that leads to enrollment or a purchase. Now, finally, this is a little bit of the boring part, and I know you don't want to do this, but you have to analyze. I want you to take time in your calendar today and say data and optimization. I want you to keep a record of how are your socials doing? How are your emails doing? Because where energy goes, money flows. Okay, I heard that somewhere, and it is very true. If you put energy into something, you watch it, right? It is growing. And with that, right, you can see, should I be doing lives every day? Should I be doing emails, sending them out? What kind of emails worked? Which ones didn't? What page worked well? What offers are selling? Which ones are not? And with that information, you can actually take that data and optimize and grow. Now, I'm not saying with this information, you're going to 10x your things. But what I am saying is that you'll see where the holes are and you can at least improve 1%. 1% is better than zero.
Thank you so much. Like, that was packed with information, right? So, you know, I think like, one of the things that as we're growing our businesses, and for those of you who are just starting out, this might seem like a bit of an overwhelm. So I want you to pause for a second, take a breath. It's not as complicated as you think. It's just about having strategies in place. And for those of you who are growing, you're probably salivating at all of this amazing information, because you're like, oh my God, yes, that's what I want. You know, because the truth is I love when you talked about, you know, that client journey. And like I said to you, you know, when I looked at my text and I'm like, my clients are getting this. I don't like that. It needs to be better. Right. That's why I actually sign up for all of my events, because I want to see what the customer journey is through those eyes. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one thing to look at it through my back end system and be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, good. Let's put that there. But then when you click go, when you do live, you'll start to realize all of these little things. Like you said, sometimes you don't see it. You don't yourself don't see it. So if you're not testing it, if you're not testing it yourself or putting yourself through the process, like Carol said, what is the first step for your client? How does that feel for them? What's the second step for your client? How does that feel for them? Like if you have too many barriers to entry, that's also an issue, right? Yeah. So if you have like, click here, but then you have to click here to then click here, but then a pop-up, but then you click here, but then, and then by that time they are done. They are looking at their next Instagram story. Let's just be real. We all do it. I do it too. I have ADHD. I have to keep myself focused, right? Because if I don't keep myself focused, I am on to the next project, the next thing, the next whatever. And so I always have to make sure that I nurturing myself too, right? So I tell all of you ladies to like really listen to what she's saying and take a ton of notes. My pad is already getting full. I'm gonna have to go get another pad, right? So there's a lot of notes here because there's a lot of gems. There's a lot of skills here that you should be listening to. And she's doing it in a way that is systematic for you, right? The magnetic messaging, the lead magnet, the nurturing sequence, the conversion funnels, like all of that stuff is for your good. Just make sure that you are taking the time to do it, okay?
Yes.
We're talking about that, right? The nurturing sequence and not being able to see certain things and all of these mistakes that we make. I want to know, because I want us to avoid them, what are the biggest mistakes that entrepreneurs make with Facebook ads, and how can they avoid wasting money on ineffective strategies. Does that make sense? Because yes. We end up, like, you gave us all of these gems, but sometimes we will follow them, but we're also still making these mistakes. And I know we're still going to make mistakes, Carol. You can't be the wizard of all things, right? I mean, we're still going to make a lot of mistakes. But can you help us with that? Like, what are the biggest mistakes that you're finding with all of your clients that when they come to you, you're like, oh boy, we shouldn't have done it this way. We're going to have to redo this whole system, right? I just want to avoid that. So can you help us with that?
I love that. So the first thing I tell all my clients is, please do not only rely on the ad. I'm going to say it again because I stumbled and I need you to hear this. Please do not rely solely on the ad, okay? Now, what I see happening is that people, I turn ads on for them and they stop doing everything else. They just are like, oh, Carol's here. She's our new savior. No, I'm not. I'm just human, okay? That's somebody else's job. And by relying solely on ad, they stop doing lead generation for themselves. So they stop talking to people. They stop doing collaborations. They stop their podcasts. They start summits. They stop selling because apparently we're running ads now. So it's the ad's job to convert these cold people who have never heard of you into clients. And then they don't have an ecosystem to warm them up or nurture them or support them or get to know them. That is a huge red flag, guys. I would love for you to think of ads as an addition, right? It just amplifies what you're doing. So the ad is there to help you create a more dynamic ecosystem, but you still need to sell and not be dependent on it. When you are depending on anything in life, that energy of like desperation, it seeps through everything you do. And it affects every decision, conscious or unconscious. So don't rely solely on something. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. The ad will do its thing, but you also need to continue doing your other efforts, right? The next one I would say, it's kind of also a big deal, is ignoring a warm audience. So I want you to think about people in three kind of lanes. Like, let's pretend they're all stuck in traffic. You have people in the slowest lane. Those people, they just met you. They're just chilling. They're just like driving their car, like driving Miss Daisy. Like those guys, they're going to get to you when they get to you, right? It's not top of their list. Then you get people in the middle lane. Those guys are like, you know, we see you, Carol. We've seen you talk about ads. Like we're getting there. Like they're interested, but they're not in a hurry to become a client. Then you get people in the fast lane. Like, I know you know those people. Those guys are driving like this. They're like hooting at you. Their blinkers are on. They're like, move, lady. I got places to be. So with that being said, that's who you need to look at first. It makes me laugh, actually, because we always want to focus on the slowest people. We want to talk to them and preach to them and explain to them how we can help them when they are not ready. Remember, people buy from people. And people buy when they are ready, not when you are selling, right? So focus on the people who are right in front of you. Don't be like, oh yeah, they're right here. No, convert them. And the best way to do that is not selling to the cold people. They're there. They already put their hands up. Acknowledge them, right? Not tracking your key metrics is another deal breaker. We can't just be blindly running ads. My favorite quote is throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping it would stick. Please don't do that, because this is your money. You have worked hard for it. Running ads can be expensive. It is not, but it can be, right? Because I always make this example, which is so great. Like, just on the cost thing, I want to get this super quick, just touch on it and say, if you're running like a $2 ad, maybe your screen is going to be really small, like this phone, right? But if you're running a big ad, it's going to be like a giant billboard, right? So not knowing, running ads and not testing is like, if you're spending $100, you have this giant billboard, but you're not tracking if it's working, what's the point? You might as well have put like nonsense on that billboard. You might as well have not even run the ad, because then you're going to get upset and you're going to be like, they didn't work. Well, you didn't track if it was working or not. You didn't fill those holes that I've been talking about until now. So is it truly the ad's fault, or are we able to take some accountability that maybe the system wasn't complete and wasn't ready just yet to run ads, right? not retargeting ads. So retargeting, let's just touch on it a little bit. It is a fancy way of saying, hey, Meta being Facebook, Instagram, or WhatsApp, please interact with people who have already interacted with my content. Now, this is really freaking cool. You can reach people who have visited, liked, commented, shared, or viewed a video, shared a video, done any of those interactions on any of your platforms. So Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, they're tracking for all of that. It's really cool. So even if someone doesn't follow you, you could still show them your ad. And then you can take it a step further and you can install something that is called a Meta Pixel. Now, it's not called a Meta Pixel anymore, but I'm just going to use that word because when you go on Google University, that's what it comes up as. It's actually called data sets now. So these data sets, what they do is they track a specific action. Now, the technology is not quite there yet where it just tracks everything and it knows it. I want you to think about it as a tiny little piece of code. You know that HTML thing sometimes we see on our website, that thing. Okay, it's just a whole bunch of numbers and stuff. You're going to take those numbers, that HTML code, and you're going to install it into your website. Depending on the platform you use, there's different ways on doing it. But that's in essence what you're going to do. And then you're going to say to that code, hey, I want you to track for a very specific action. And that action could be anything like, did they add something to their cart? Did they fill in a form? Did they opt in? Did they view a certain page? Did they become a lead? Did they schedule an appointment? Now, all these things are great because once again, people are looking at you and then they're going to validate. They're going to all these other places that you have. Maybe they join your email lists. Maybe they just view your website. Again, we're tracking. So we can put an ad in front of these people. And on your website, you can go as far as 365 days. And on most of these platforms, you can go as far back as 180 days, which is incredible. You can also segment for people who have watched 25, 50, 75, or 100% of your video, which is super impressive. Because if you are a person who loves to create reels and that kind of video content, if you're just putting that out and people are watching it, but maybe they're like me, I don't like to comment. Sometimes I press like, but truly I'm not going to comment anything. I'm not going to start a conversation unless I'm ready to buy. They're still taking account for me. Like they're still tracking for me, which is amazing. And the last one is avoiding data analysis. So stopping your ads too soon instead of tweaking the funnel. This one, I see it too soon. People like to tell me, oh, Carol, the ads aren't working. We've spent X amount. They didn't work. Okay. Ads are also testing. You've got to give them time to settle. I'm actually going to give you a very realistic timeline on how it works. So after you publish your ad will actually enter this review phase. Now, that review phase can take anywhere between like a couple of minutes to all the way to 48 hours. And that's just the algorithm determining if all your ads, you know, do they go against the policies and procedures that Meta has put in there? Are they good to run? So that's the first kind of hurdle. Then it takes, the ad enters this thing called the learning phase. Now, the learning phase, it needs to perform 50 actions. Now, what are these 50 actions? So if, for example, you're asking them to give you emails, you need to get at least 50 people to sign up so that Meta really understands who it's truly looking for, right? Now, 50 people may sound like a lot or it may sound like a little. Either way, what's going to help it is what are you putting in front of them? Is your offer strong? Are you giving something that's a solution to get this action to happen? Is your landing page effective? See, all these things add up. And sometimes we give up too soon, right? So after we've done these 50 conversions, now the ad is going. Ideally, I let my clients' ads run for about 7 days. I do look at them every single day. Sometimes I can just tell and I don't wait the whole 7 days. Again, depending on the data and what it's showing me, I will look at it and be like, okay, 7 days have passed. We now have a baseline, right? We know we put in $10 and we got 10 emails. That means our cost per result is $1. I go back to the client and I say, hey, are you satisfied at the end of 30 days to get 3,000 emails? So yeah, 300 emails. Oh, maths, guys, maths. 300 emails by spending $10 a day. If the answer is yes, then cool. We don't change anything. We see how we can optimize. We play with the other elements, right, to improve them. If the answer is no, then you need to up your budget, because unfortunately, I and the algorithm gods, as I like to call them, like, we're cool, but we're not homies like that. Like, I don't know them like that. So I can't set the prices of your ads for you. There's other things that are involved there. So how can you avoid all of these things? I think I've given you some, but I just want to run through them again. Is run awareness and lead generation before pitching high ticket offers. So again, you want to warm people up before you're like, buy my stuff, right? You want to track your conversion rates at every stage. So what are they doing at the opt-in? What are they doing for book a call? What are they doing when it comes to enrollments or actually signing up for your service, right? Then you want to implement a retargeting system for warm leads. So what these people who are consuming your organic content, these people who are showing up, where are we taking them? Are we taking them to your lead magnet? Are we taking them to your events? Where are we taking them? What are we doing with them? Well, we need to move them because they're warm. They're watching you, right? And lastly, you need to optimize the processes, those holes. We got to patch them before you start scaling.
Wow. That was so good. And I started to see holes in my system. I'm like, ooh, okay. Especially when you talked about the Metapixel, right? And you talked about how you can put that in your website and all that stuff. And I haven't done that. I built my website, spent a lot of money to build my website. And I kind of just don't even go to my website, honestly, right? So that's really smart. It's really smart. And that's something I want to really kind of work on, Carol. So I mean, you may have to have a conversation because I want to see how I can actually streamline my business and see what's going on here, right? Okay. Anyway, that was very, very good. So I love that. I love that. Please do not rely solely on your ads. That was perfect, because when I first started, I relied solely on my ads because I got some clients. So I thought it was all that in a bag of chips. And then what happened is, when you get your clients in your ecosystem already, they're there, they love you already, all that great stuff. And most of my clients have come throughout the years by referral. Most people just like, you have to work with Nina, and then people sign up, right? So yes. When I started to do ads, which was really recent, because I haven't done ads my whole career in this, I realized that I did the same thing. I ran the ad and was like, it's good, you know? And then I was like, show up, girl, what are you doing, right? Because one of the things that I believe in is showing up every day, and whether one person is watching or 50,000, I don't care, because yes. I have gotten clients with just one person showing up. Okay. Facts. That client then becomes my person. And then I'll go to an event. Maybe there was only 10 people, 3 become my client. Like you got to stop worrying about the numbers like that, guys. Now, what you do want to do is make sure that people are seeing, like Carol said, your ads, but also the fact that they're clicking, that they're interested. Where are they going? Like those type of things are important. The numbers can be great, because if you see and say, 50,000 people saw my ad, that's great. But let me tell you something, if they're not clicking or engaging, it doesn't mean anything. When I ran my ad, I had a lot of men click my ads. And I'm like, but it says, hey, women, hey, ladies, like, why are men clicking my ads, right? So obviously something was off there, whether it was the way we set it up with targeting, something was off. But I got way more men clicking that ad than I did women. Mm-hmm. Could be because I'm gorgeous. That could be it.
I didn't want to just say it, but listen, that is a true thing. People, if you're pretty, which you are, you know you are.
Tell the people.
So you are, if you are an attractive person, or you're just, you know, you're okay. If you're like a 3 and up, and most of us here are, I know you are. Don't lie to yourself. You're over 3 and up.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not even going to say a 5. Over 3 and up, because sometimes we like to think low of ourselves. Over 3 and up. You're gorgeous, okay? And there's so many people in this planet who would love to see your face. So what ends up happening sometimes, which I'm just coming into my brain now for you, Nina, could have been that people started sharing your ad, which is a great thing. It means you get additional views that you didn't pay for. Yeah. But it could have just been one gentleman saw the ad, then he shared it. Then other men started seeing the ad. And then because these people interacted with the ad, Facebook could have thought, hey, I mean, she didn't ask for men, but these people seem to be like doing the thing that she wanted, which is clicking on the ad or viewing the ad. Let me keep showing it to men. So it confuses the algorithm. So there's ways around that, but it's important to know that that does happen, especially if you're a 3 and up. They like you. The internet wants you.
I know. I was just like, I mean, it was so clear. Like everything was clear. The headline was women. The video was about women. Everything was about women. And I'm like, why are all these freaking men's names in my ad? I was so pissed off about that. And like, it's funny because even today, like I got an email from someone who said, hey, I know that your event is for women. Can I please sign up? I still want the value of what you're, you know, what you're doing. So
yeah,
I'm like, there's way more men who are also aligning with what I'm teaching, because I'm teaching people to grow their coaching businesses. So to them, it's like, I'm a coach, I'm a man, but I could still do what you're saying for me to do. Right. I just like being around women energy. You know, I like women. I like their energy. I like, you know, I like that they're real. They're authentic. They come at this. They're like really want to dig in. Like, I'm not saying men don't do that, but I don't speak men language. I speak more women language, you know, but it's very interesting. A lot of men want to be in my program. So I don't know, maybe in the future, who knows? But right now I love you women. So we're going to stick to it. And if you're a man watching, I love you too. I'm just saying. So thank you so much for all of that, Carol. You dropped so many gems. So I want you to maybe answer one more question before we wrap up, okay?
Sure.
Because for entrepreneurs who are feeling a little bit burnt out, a little bit hesitant because what they've done before has failed. I know for me, I felt like that. I did feel like that, right? How can they start to regain a little bit of confidence? Is there a strategy that they can just do that they can regain a little bit of confidence in their approach to paid traffic? And how can they do this strategically? Because I heard you say earlier, ads can be expensive, but they're not. They don't have to be, right? And that caught my attention. So I'm like, I got to come back to her for that, because I would like to know, like, what kind of strategies or something you have in place where people who have maybe threw the spaghetti at the wall, spent a lot of money, and are like, I don't really want to do ads anymore. That actually scares me, right?
Yes.
So can you help us with that?
Yeah, I can do that. So you've got to start with acknowledging that you need to reframe it as data and not failure. This is just a learning opportunity for you, right? Like I said before, ads have a lot of testing. So you're going to go through version one, version two, version three. You really have to come at it with an open mind and really tough conversations on yourself. You can't just decide like, hey, I'm going to spend $100 and that's it. I want you to think about this as an investment in yourself, right? And how much are you willing to invest in yourself, in your business, and not depend on an algorithm, on things that you have no control over? This is an opportunity for you to invest in yourself. Now, like I said before, I cannot tell you how much to spend, but I will give you some guidelines. Run your ads for at least 7 days and make sure you get a baseline, right? Now, what is a baseline? I touched on it previously, but it's simply put is this. If you're looking for leads, and so you're giving something and they're giving you their email, for example, or you're looking for sales, you're selling something, how much does that cost, right? You need to work out, how much do I need to put in to get that result? So if you are spending $10 a day to get an email and you get 10 emails, easy, that means you spent $1 to acquire each of those emails. Now, that's great. Most people in the coaching industry do not get $1 leads, okay? Most people get anything under 10, brilliant. If you're getting $1 leads and they're good quality leads and they're doing what they're doing, do not touch that. Do not touch that ad. Like, leave it alone. Walk away. Go on vacation. Come back. Leave the ad. Okay, that's what I want you to do. Once you have those numbers, you can then reverse engineer, right? And say, I, on average, at the top of my funnel, because most of the things that I'm giving you today is really for the top of the funnel. It's generating, it's making sure that the people who are already in your ecosystem see you and find you, your warmest people, that's the awareness campaign. It's the people who you want to get off social media and into your ecosystem. That's the lead generation one. And then finally, where I want you to put the least amount of your ad spend is on the sales. Because the sales is just to remind them, hey, buy this thing. But truly, in most cases, our sales, they come from that call. They come from that connection. They come from that launch. They come from that webinar. It comes from something that isn't an ad, right? So that's usually where you'll spend the least amount of your money. So think about your numbers and say, is having 300 new people on my email list going to move the needle forward? Yes or no? If yes, then cool. Then you know how much you need to spend. If no, you need to have a real conversation with yourself and say, like, is this enough? If not, you need to fix that, right? The other thing, if you're doing sales, like if you're running an ad directly to a sale, see how you can off-put that. What else can you put on your offer? So if you're selling a course that's $97, do you have an upsell? Do you have an order bump? What can you do to increase the cart value? Someone's already in a yes mood. They're buying stuff. What else can we get them to buy, right? That's why when you go to the shops, you have all those tiny things at the till. They're not there for decoration. They're there because you're impulsive, and I am too. And we just are like, oh, I need tissues. Oh, I need a lipstick. Oh, I need hand sanitizer. You don't need it. It's just conveniently placed there. So you add it to your cart. What can we conveniently place in front of them to increase that cart value, right? So after that you've refrained, this was not a failure, you've done well, okay? How can we improve? So I want you to start fresh. I want you to think about, was it the messaging, was it the audience, or was it the offering? Figure out which one of those components you're going to test first. Don't test all three, test one out individually, because it could just be a messaging problem. It could just be the offer, the audience. These people were not ready, right? And analyze what went wrong. Was it the messaging? Was it the funnels? Was it the leads, right? So that's how you'll analyze those three steps before you move forward. I'd also say, don't leave money on the table, guys. Begin with your warm audience. So the people who have been visiting your website, seeing you on socials, the people on your email list, sell to them first. Why are you looking for new people when there's already likely so many people on all these touch points that want and need your service? Lastly, if you're going through it and you're like, no, I can't do this, Get help. Now, I'm not just saying this so that you can become a client of mine. I need you to get support, right? Because some of us, we have gifts that only work in certain spaces. You do not need to be doing ads. You do not need to be spending 8 hours of your day trying to figure it out on YouTube University when you could ask for help. And I know it may seem like an investment, but your time is an investment. The time you're spending trying to figure this out, the energy you're putting into this is times that you could be spending amplifying your business, closing ideal clients, while somebody else supports you in that aspect. So don't be scared to ask for help. You got this. And if you do like DIYing, good for you. But also remember to leave yourself time to do what you do best. Don't become an ads person now, unless you really want to. Remember why you started, why you were learning to figure this out. And if it really isn't your calling, you know enough to say someone is like pulling the wool over your eyes and being like, nope, I know that's not right. Carol told me not to do that. You see, now you know better, you do better. Lastly is trust the process. Success comes from testing, refining, and optimizing over time. Unfortunately, with ads, I cannot say you'll run your first ad and you will become a millionaire, but I will say you will gain so much knowledge from that experience that you will have a very clear picture where you can improve.
And, you know, to add to that, I think it's important to get the help because they're the ones that know what to look for to give you that knowledge. Because if you're just looking at it and going, oh, Meta said I got 500 leads. Do you even know what that means? Do you know how they got there? Because this is what happens to a lot of people, right? You'll, because, you know, Meta's always promoting, you know, do you want to boost this reel? Do you want to boost this thing, right? And then we go, yeah, sure, I want to boost it. Yeah, boost. Go ahead, boost. And then you're like, I don't even know what happened. Like, I don't know. I don't know what happened to the ad. I don't know if it ever went out. I don't know if people ever saw it. So that's why the strategy piece is important, because I realized, you know, many moons ago when I had done ads, that I was leaving a lot on the table. I didn't even know you can click down some of the, you can actually in Meta, you can actually pull out the leads that they gave you, like all the people that clicked. Yes. You can actually put that on a spreadsheet. You can actually add that to your list. And you don't know these little pieces if nobody's telling you, because you're not, that's not your space. Like, I'm a coach. I help women create coaching businesses. I am not a Meta specialist. I have a team. Yeah. They do that stuff. I don't do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how to do it. And I'm not gonna make pretend like I do. You really should be in the space you really know what you are doing and how to do it and how you're gonna get person from point A to point B. This is what Carol does. This is her jam. This is what she does all day long. So ads for her are like, look how she spoke about it. It's so easy and fluently because she knows what she's talking about. If you want to know who you are or the expert that you are and you want people to know that, stay in your lane. Know who you are. Practice your craft and then have your support system do the rest. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more about the investment in yourself, Carol, because I'm a big proponent of that. I've spent over $200,000 building and being with coaching and doing programs and all kinds of stuff just so I could be who I am today. And I still have to keep improving. So I still have to add more money to what I do. So I know you have a gift for them today. So I want you to talk to them about what that gift is. And I want them to know how to work with you, follow you, all of that as well, because I'm sure a lot of them have tons of questions and I want to make sure they're able to reach out to you to do that. Okay. So give us that.
Yes. I can hit you with that. So if you found today interesting, guys, and you were like, Carol, girl, I'm ready. I am ready to run those ads. I want to tell you, whoa, I'm excited for you, but whoa. Okay. First thing you're going to do is you're going to go and you're going to go and find my Facebook ads quiz. It takes 2 minutes to do. It's really fun, really engaging. And it's going to help you decide what your ads readiness score is. Are you ready to run ads? Should you be running ads? And where can you improve? And you might need some support. So if you are looking to run ads, take my quiz first. I don't want you to throw spaghetti at the wall and pray that it sticks. Take the quiz. Take the quiz. Now, apart from the quiz, you will also receive a nice little ebook that has all the step-by-step guides. It's going to walk you through a whole bunch of things on getting started with ads and a couple of little nuggets in there that I like to throw in because, you know, the Facebook gods don't want you to know everything, but I do. So if that sounds interesting, if this whole conversation of investing in yourself, showing up, not depending on the algorithm, and just putting yourself first sounds like something you want to do, take my quiz, find out if you're ready. And if you are, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Everywhere online, my name is simply Carol Cabale, and I would love to talk to you. Let's have a conversation. Let's figure out how I can support you to amplify your message and be of service.
Carol.
Yes.
You are a true gem, and I can't thank you enough for all the stuff that you just laid down for these women, because you have left so many tools and ideas and ways to look at this and strategy, and that's what I wanted. I wanted them to walk away with some strategy and not be left with another just great YouTube video. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
this was really, really good. And I mean, I got so much nuggets out of this myself. I'm going to be reviewing all of my like 15 pages of
notes. I got so many notes.
But I'm grateful that you took the time. I really am. I'm so glad we met. I have a feeling we'll be working together. And I really want to make sure that, you know, they get all of this amazing knowledge from you and that they get everything you have. So thank you. You are a prize. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I hope you guys will gain something. And I just want to leave you with one last little thing. I told Nina this is my like mantra for the year, and it's what you don't change, you choose. So I hope you choose yourself, and I hope you enjoyed today. And thank Nina. She's amazing for putting this all together. She's just a gem.
Thank you. Guys, thank you so much. I'm going to make sure you have access to all of this. So my team has put together like a whole landing page for you with all the free stuff and everything so you can connect with the speakers. I really want you to take her quiz because like she said, maybe you're ready and you just need support. maybe you're not ready yet, but let's get you prepared, right? And that's where that PDF comes in to see where you are, get you a little prepared and stuff. So by the time you're ready to go with Carol, you have a lot of your ducks in a row, and then you are not throwing that spaghetti on the wall. Like, honestly, I've done that so much throughout my career. It's cost me so much money, and I don't want that to happen for you. And that's why this event is here, because I really wanted to get 6- and 7-figure earners who come on here and say to you, hey, listen, don't do this, but do this and you can win. And that's what I want for you. So thank you for hanging out with me and Carol. This is the Women Who Lead Summit, and I am super excited for you and everything that you're doing with your business. All right. On to the next one.